Did you know only 9% of construction business owners make more than $200,000 a year? We believe your business should make your life better. We work with construction business owners to systemize their cash flow, workflow, and crew so they can become involved but not required. Have a listen to our podcast if you want to be in control of your business and your life. If you want to get there faster, go to involvedbutnotrequired.com.
Hey guys, I'm going to talk today about a question we get a lot, which is, do I have a contract in place on my job? I haven't signed a contract, so do I really have a contract? How will things work out? Now, the reality is, let me preface this for a start by saying that this is general legal advice. If you want specific advice that is to your actual case rather than in general terms, speak to a lawyer. All right, caveat bullshit out of the way. I've got a lot of experience in how I've had to do this and how it's worked out, so I'm going to tell you what I've found and learnt from spending freaking a lot of money on lawyers to chase money that we're owed and to figure out where we're at and from different things. The concept is called deemed acceptance. If you send a client a quote and they get you to start work, they're deemed to have accepted that quote. So, you know, whatever it is, it's a small job and you say, I'm going to build you a deck at the back of your place. $5,000. No worries. I'll give you a call. Thanks, mate. Go ahead. The deal is for $5,000. They can't later say, no, but you told me 3.5. You can't say, actually, we'd agreed 6. And whatever payment terms were on that quote are deemed to have been accepted by both parties because there was a written contract or terms or quote in place and it went ahead. Now, the same applies in reverse, and this is where guys often get stuck, is that they're working for a builder and the builder sends them a quote like a purchase order or a contract, and especially the contracts. The purchase orders are normally pretty simple one-page documents, away you go. The contracts aren't. The contracts will be far more complicated than that. The contract is the latest document in writing in the series between let's have a phone call, let's discuss it, plans go backwards and forwards. You send a quote, they send you a contract. If you accept that you started work after the contract happened, you are deemed to have accepted the contract. That is the terms and conditions under which you are working. That contract is now, to a fair level, binding on you. There's a few exceptions, and again, talk to a lawyer, you know, if it's unfair contract terms, but that doesn't really, even though there's legislation saying unfair contract terms, it really doesn't swing a lot of weight. You can only have those particular terms removed. So in reality, you've got a contract and you've got their contract and you haven't made any changes to it. So whatever payment terms they said, you've now signed up to. Whatever terms and conditions they wanted, you're now working under. Every contract I've ever seen has a great little clause that says this is the entire agreement. Nothing else, written, verbal or implied, shall have any bearing on the works or on the contract. So your quote is gone. If you ever go to court, you can't even bring your quote up. We used to say that your contracts sounded quite combative. People hear contract and they think courts. So we used to call them in our office the C word. Never say the C word to a client. We would refer to our quote because in the back of the client's head, they go, your quote means nothing, mate. The quote is irrelevant. The quote's dead. You've signed a contract. Wake up. But it actually, they underestimated us because of that, because we refer to the terms and conditions on our quote, knowing full well that the quote was irrelevant, but it made it non-confrontational. It made them think they had the upper hand, and it let us talk about things without having to get people with their backs up thinking that we're saying, well, hang on, that's not in our contract. They're like, you're talking contracts like you're a lawyer. Why don't we just get on and do this job together? We talk about a quote, you know, far less combative term. But the quote's dead. The quote's gone. We can never, ever come back and use that quote again. So if you haven't signed a contract, it doesn't mean you haven't got one. So when you're looking at it, there's a few key takeaways that I suggest from this. Firstly, on your quote, put in place some terms and conditions. You know, we had some stock standard ones drawn up. If you're not if you're not ready to have a lawyer draw them up, because it will cost you a few grand, that's fine. Go and have a look on the net, grab someone else's, make a few tweaks yourself, try not to change it more than you absolutely need to, whack it on. You know, 3 or 4 pages on the back of the quote, it's better than nothing. You know, what are your payment terms? 7 days from date of invoice. We can put in progress claims every 14 days, etc. Put in things like that, other terms and conditions that you want. It's something. It may not hold a heap of water in a court if it hasn't been done by a lawyer, but it's something, and it's in writing, and it's better than nothing. And just whack it as a standard attachment on every quote that you send out. So if someone says, can you start work, and they haven't sent you through a contract, you've now got a contract, and it's yours. It's absolute best case scenario. So you know, it's something there. If they send you back a contract, read it. Yeah. If you go through, and over time, like some of them are daunting. I've had literally 256-page contracts, and I'm like, oh. But I've also been screwed over by accepting contracts that I didn't read carefully enough that I read them carefully now. So, you know, read the contract. Over time, you'll get to know the sort of terms that you want to. Like I would suggest straight up, look at your variations. Go for your headings. It'll say variations. And the more rigorous it is to get a variation approved, the more concerned I would be. You know, I would look straight away. I want to have terms that say, yep, look, it can be in writing. A lot of the time it'll say it can only be, variations can only be approved if they're signed off by the project manager or a particular person who's never on site. You know, the supervisor comes around, asks you to do something, but it's got to be signed off by some director that you've never met. Well, I can't do that, mate. You know, even if you sign our triplicate book, I can't do it until it's signed off by them. You know, check it. Because you get screwed on variations all the time. Payment terms, you know, a whole range of different things. Like the other one in commercial for us was that they could adjust the program and we could never vary the cost. We would always say, no, you're welcome to adjust the program as much as you want, but you've got to accept that we can vary the cost. If you've given us 6 weeks to do that, we've allowed the manpower for 6 weeks. If because you've fallen behind elsewhere, you now want us to do it in 2 weeks, we're going to have to bring in extra guys, labor hire, there's going to be guys working on top of each other, efficiency is going to drop, our costs are going to go up. So yes, you can compress program, but it comes at a cost because it's going to cost us money. We're not going to wear the cost for your mistakes. So we'd always cross out things like that. So there's different terms and conditions to look for. I won't go into all of them here, but read it. If there are things you don't like, send back an email. We object to at least the following clauses. If they need you to start straight away, then they cannot later enforce those clauses on you because you have objected in writing to them. So again, make sure that that's there before you walk on the site. There is a hierarchy of contracts, you know, that they will look at in the court. The lowest one is a verbal contract. Can you build my deck? Yep, sure, $5,000. Awesome, go ahead. You got a contract. It's a verbal contract. It's a pain in the ass because usually there's only two people who have heard it and are witnesses to it, and it's your word against theirs. Not a great one. The next one is the quote or the contract that has been sent in writing hasn't been signed. As we just spent all this time talking about, it is still a contract, but it's not signed. If you've got a signature on a document, that supersedes it. That comes above it. So if they've signed your quote and then they send you a contract afterwards and you don't sign it, they can't take deemed acceptance because they've signed and accepted your quote already. So signed is next best. Signed and witnessed supersedes that. And your gold standard is signed and witnessed by a justice of the peace or an authorised signatory with their stamp and their dubie like a on it. So, you know, we do that for big things like our contracts of sale of business. I'll get signed and witnessed by a JP because you know, it is there is no coming back and saying, I don't know, it wasn't me, I didn't sign it, or wasn't witnessed. So those are your hierarchies of things. But at the very least, put things in writing all the time. You know, if you get a variation and it's verbal, ask you to do that, fine, happy to do it. Very first thing I do is as soon as the client leaves site, grab my iPad, laptop, whatever, I'll go on site, even my phone, whack him out an email. Hey, mate, just to confirm my understanding, non-confrontational, lowers the tone, you've asked me to do X, Y, and Z. We've agreed that that will cost an extra $2,000. Did I get that right? Again, it's not. Doesn't look like you're putting it in writing. It's just putting it in writing. The best thing they can do is nothing. Not respond, not reply, because you've now got a paper trail in writing, an e-paper trail in writing showing that a conversation happened, you agreed to this price, and they can't later say, no, I didn't agree to that. Well, why didn't you reply and say, no, no, that's wrong. You've obviously been corresponding on this email address backwards and forwards. If you didn't agree, you should have said no. If they, you know, change it and say, well, hang on, actually, I meant this, that's fine. But put it in writing. So you can have deemed acceptance and you have contracts in place. Make it yours, not theirs. Guys, I hope that's helped.
We believe your business should make your life better.